Leadership development exists because none of us are perfect, fully realized people. We all have room for growth in our lives, and we need help along the way. Hi, and welcome to Developing Imperfect Leaders.
Because the last time I checked, we're not Jesus.
This podcast is a project of the Leadership Development Institute at Hope Community Church, intended to help you explore and grow your leadership skills for service both inside and outside the church. I'm your host, Paul Stiver, and I'm joined by my co-hosts and fellow LDI staff team members, Kaylin Larson.
Hello.
And Natty Severson.
Well, hey, hey. I like having a little control over this podcast. I got to admit it. These last few weeks, I've been given a little driver's seat of the would you rather questions. And normally Paul kind of like scripts this out. He asks for feedback, of course, but you know, what topics, but he really does the hard work of picking out quotes and different things like that. And so this is my moment of control. And so I'm very excited about this. So I'm now initiating a new segment, and we will go back to would you rather, but I just thought we'd give it a week to mix it up.
Changing.
This is going to be, I'm going to call it the great debate, Kaylin versus Paul. So I've picked some topics that I know, don't look. I know you've disagreed on. I know you disagree on. I know that you disagree on it based on just strenuous research. No, it just means listening to Kaylin talk. I know you're going to disagree on this. So you're going to have 1 minute to like kind of like stump or like for your cause. All right. And I'm going to tell you them, and then I'm going to give an alternate example. I'm going to give an alternate, like, and I'm going to show you how you might do it. This will give you time to talk. And I'm going to flip a coin. Oh, Paul goes first. So Paul has to go first. If you're watching, you know there is no coin. I just made noises like there might be a coin.
Wait, what?
So Paul's going to go first. Kaylin, you're going to go second, but you may not exceed a minute with your answer. And then at the end, I will declare a winner. But I'll give an example here just so you can see how this works. So the great debate, Paul versus Kaylin, is movie genres. Kaylin, you will be pro musicals. You're musical, so musical genre of film. And Paul, you will be pro action movies.
Yes.
And if you want to specifically make them Nick Cage movies, all the better.
I might consider it.
Okay.
We'll see.
So if I was going to demonstrate this, I would say, but have you considered the rom-com? Because in a rom-com, you just see a lot of like flawed characters, so you can really identify with that girl who breaks her heel walking down the road, because you know I'm in heels so much whilst walking down the street, and you just see those flaws come out and you're like, yeah, that's me. And you see them bump into real world problems, right? But they're not such big problems that you actually feel stress as the movie watcher, right? So you get to experience a little bit of stress and you can see the tension in the film, but they don't actually stress you out. And at the end, you get all the feels. Right. And now I know that they present a very unrealistic view of romance and romantic relationships, right? Super unrealistic. But let's be honest, nearly every genre of film has any grounding in realism, right? And so by proportion, I think the rom-com is actually better for us to watch. Lastly, happily ever after. Who doesn't want a good HEA?
It's an acronym for happily ever after.
Thank you.
All right. So the great debate featuring Kaylin and Paul.
So he's going to say, have you considered action?
I'm now, not I say, had time to plan mine out, which was exactly 2 minutes before this. I wrote those bullet points. So yeah. I got more time to think about it. And you obviously are not writing. So you're going to have to do it from memory. Mm. So Paul, pitch for us action movies. Go.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about the action movie genre, you're looking at something that we all identify with, which is that there is danger and there is evil in the world. We see wrongness. We see brokenness. We see that people don't always have the best motives and desires. And we need something, you know, beyond the danger, which we all encounter in day-to-day life. And I'm not just talking about action movies. Mm. We see that we need something to hope in, right? We need a hero. We need someone who can come along and overturn, confront the evil, keep it at bay, and lay down their lives.
Wow.
In a way that protects us from the danger, undoes the brokenness, the evil, the wrong, the selfishness. Honestly, now that I think about it, action movies in many ways point us to the gospel.
Gosh, I knew you were
going to
do that.
They show us who Jesus is. And I will say this just about musicals. I know I'm only supposed to promote action movies, But no one sings all the time. Musicals. When you Let sing it, people, you reinforce their pain because you're just telling them how they should think and how they should live. The action movie hero doesn't reinforce your pain. He comes in and saves you from it.
Wow. He went, or she. He went gospel on us. That was
because he's a prophet.
Tough to beat. Caitlin, the musical, the humble musical.
The humble musical. I mean, I look at Austin's can right there and I just want to sing ABBA and go Waterloo. Like you literally could sing everything and having like a good tune in your head just brings a lot of joy and like good feelings. And I don't know why you wouldn't like musicals. I mean, you think of Hamilton, you think of The Greatest Showman, you think of Sound of Music and Annie and Wicked. I mean, you see the onstage performances and just the like drama that comes with it. And then the joy that is found in the music, and there's so much relation in music. People just like feel seen and understood.
Music is the language of the heart.
Yes. And so I just like, I would say that musicals relate to people in a way that action movies do not, because you are not going to save the world as the Avengers do, but you can relate to the pain and the joy that is experienced in musicals.
And to people just randomly singing in shopping situations.
See, that's my thing. All right.
Yes. Again, so good. This is where we come back to the rom-com because it's more realistic. At least people do fall in love. Nobody, Fast and the Furious, a 400-mile runway, or people just singing in grocery stores. Very unrealistic. What? I pick Musical myself as the winner. No. How we're going to choose the winner is you're going to comment in the comments and we'll know once this airs who is the winner. And you can vote for me, even though.
She had time to prepare.
I did. So factor that in. Not just my winsome.
Yeah, everything you got from me and Caitlin was off the cuff.
And I do not do off the cuff.
Caitlin actually nailed it.
Yeah, Caitlin,
I still hate musicals.
She did sing too.
Awful, but it was really well done.
Well, thanks.
Sorry, that went a little longer.
Let's get into then for easy transition, natural transition. Today's leading question is how do I know if I'm operating in my spiritual gifts if I don't know what they are?
Three things came to mind. What comes easy to you? And what feels natural. I mean, those kind of go together. And then what gives you joy? I think if you're doing something that kind of just like feels hard and you feel like you keep getting stuck, maybe that is not a natural gifting God has given you. And that's okay. You don't need to have that gifting, but it could be a pause to consider, like, is this something I'm gifted at?
Yeah. I had a very similar answer. What brings you joy? What after you do it, do you reflect on and say, I really thrived at that? Mm-hmm. And that actually, I saw it bless people. That was kind of cool. Just kind of a couple of those, or I love doing that. It's just to add to what you said. I kind of answered this very similar to you. The only other one kind of in that same lane is, what is God blessing? So what is something you've done that you watch and you see like, I think it was clear that when I gave that person that advice, that wisdom I shared, that God actually blessed that and that helped them make a wise decision or a number of examples. But
yeah, that's great. I went with, what does this question mean? and I really got stuck on the word don't know. So how do I know if I'm operating my spiritual gifts if I don't know what they are? So I thought there's two basic kinds of don't know crowds. The one don't know is like, I'm maybe new to the faith or new to the local church or something. Or new to this group of believers, and I've just never had time to learn about this. I just really just don't know anything about this. I've never had an experience in a local church, so I can't tell you what I've thrived in. And so that would be like a one don't know, like a legitimately don't know. And I think for me, it'd be like, you know, pray that God reveals those things to you, or just give something a try, right? So like, you know, what do I do? How do I know? Well, You only know when you try, right? Mm-hmm. And so the other kind of person that I think of that we can bump into has been around the church for much longer, but they think they have to have an exact definition of their spiritual gifts. They get a little bit frozen. They get a little bit of analysis paralysis, where they like, I need this exact definition and I need to sort through them and have certainty so I can be almost positive that I won't fail or have any unpleasant experience, right? And you might laugh at this and be like, well, geez, that's very extreme, Natty. But it's, I see this in subtle and oftentimes less subtle ways. Like, I am not going to do this until I've sit down and been trained on the spiritual gifts. I know definitively what mine are for always and forever. You know what I mean? Kind of that, I need that level of certainty because I think people are just afraid to fail or do the wrong things or feel uncomfortable. So my advice though, would actually be to the same to them. Like, what do I do? Or how do I know? It's just try, get out there and try. So.
Yeah. Yep. So let's get into the quote of the week. And now I just want to bring this up. So a part of our LDI umbrella, our banner, we have classes, seminars, internships, and retreats. And this, one of our classes is called Shape Class. And it's kind of, the idea of the class is to spend, I think
we borrowed that
6 weeks.
From
it's not
church.
Our own. Yep. Yeah, but it's Shape Class. And it's a 6 week class where you get to know kind of how you're wired, what your spiritual gifts are, what your heart is for. A lot of like how you're, how God's kind of designed you, what the things you're passionate about and some of those things. It's a really great class. I know almost everyone that takes it, I would just say everyone that takes it feels blessed by it and impacted to not only know yourself more, but then see how you plug in. And so that was a kind of little buffer there, but the quote comes from one of the Shape Class resources. We're going to kind of do three different parts, unpacking what spiritual gifts are. And we give a huge hat tip here to Wayne Grudem's systematic theology, where we kind of pull a lot of this from. And
nearly all of it,
yeah,
actually.
So we're going
to start. Some of it as direct quotes, yeah, like what you're about to read.
What I'm about to read. So we're going to start with what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So he's defined a spiritual gift as any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Gifts are related to both natural abilities and miraculous things empowered by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the church. So some examples of this look like, and this is just from the Bible, from places you can find this are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4. And I'll just share a couple. There's, go there for the list or just Google list of spiritual gifts, but giving, leadership, service, teaching, wisdom, knowledge. We see some kind of more ones that maybe we see less, but prophecy, miracles. Another one is evangelism. So just a number of things. And again, they're being used by the Holy Spirit's empowering and used in the ministry of the church. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Just that idea of spiritual gifts?
Yeah, I really love this because we get to see that those words right there, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is a really big one, right? Like, what is the Spirit doing right in us? And how is God working in us? And then for the common good, we see that it's for the common good. So it's for the common good of the church. So I've been asked, like, how do I know if something's a spiritual gift or a talent, or how do I parse that out, right? Well, I would say, like, how's it being used, right? Like, what's it for? Like, Austin's wife, Austin, our sound person who we talk about all the time,
engineer,
is a trumpet player, right? And she plays on our worship team. And when she plays on the worship team, I feel blessed by it. I feel like it leads me to worship. I feel like it leads the congregation to worship. So would you say her ability to play that? I think she does have a spiritual gift there. Now, there are plenty of people who are probably very gifted at instruments and don't use it in that way. And that's great. I'm thankful that God has gifted them in so many ways. But I see this as like being a blessing to the church. It's for God's kingdom. And so it's definitely a spiritual gift.
Yeah, I would just add, you're kind of hitting on it, because it's got a little bit natural ability or what you're bringing to it. I love that it says here, gifts are related to both natural abilities and miraculous things. I was thinking about, I don't mean to like sound like this is about me, but I always was a good speller in school.
I was not. I was terrible.
I went to state once.
What?
For spelling,
spelling
I
was state?
This was a fun
this fact.
This
was a fun
fact.
You already shared.
I've already blacked it out.
So I was an elite speller, but that was because I had a good memory. And so when I came to faith, I always had a good memory. When I came to faith, I was able to at different times memorize scripture. And God has used that in many ways to be able to kind of share with others, or something will come to mind, or I'll be able to point or lead or teach or whatever, different opportunities to use it. And so that's not about me. So it's kind of nice because it's the Spirit did that work. So I'm not trying to, you know, I can't boast. It's the Spirit. But it's just kind of a cool thing to be a part of in that sense. And that's just one example. We all have these of like, I had a proclivity to that. I was kind of leaning that way, kind of gifted in that way. And then the Spirit comes in and actually uses that, like you said, Natty, to change the trajectory of the church, to bless others in the church. So let's get into then the purpose of spiritual gifts. Back to our kind of definition and quote here. The purpose of spiritual gifts, again from Grudem, is to equip the church to carry out its ministry until Christ returns. Okay, what are your thoughts about the purpose of spiritual gifts?
It reminds me that God knew what he was doing from the beginning. He knew that our sinful selves needed the help of the Spirit to be the church to one another. Mm-hmm. We would not be able to do it otherwise. And just the idea of like until Christ returns. And so he's going to continue to equip the church and use the power of the Spirit to help his body, his church, serve each other and display like who he is to each other.
I love this too. It's just that God talks about equipping the church to carry out its ministry till Christ returns. It's just God chooses to bring us into his story. He's using us for his work, and that's just pretty rad, right? It's just it's really cool that he's doing that, and he could do it all himself. God is God. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need any of those things, but he chooses to put us in his story, and we get this like meaningful work to do for his kingdom and his church in a world where work is normally frustrating and toilsome. We get to do this like meaningful work to be a part of his kingdom and be a part of his church. And then not only do we get it, he actually gives us what we need to accomplish it. I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal. And I'm pretty thankful for that.
That's awesome. I have nothing to add. That was really great. So three things then about spiritual gifts, kind of the third part of this definition and understanding of spiritual gifts. Again, from Grudem. Each and every follower of Christ has some gifts. There isn't one gift we all have. No one has every gift. I'll repeat that. Each and every follower of Christ has some gifts from the Spirit. There isn't one gift we all have, and no one has every gift. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think nobody's giftless, right? Jump on that first one. Nobody's giftless. And I think why haven't maybe some people activated in the church? They might fear that they are, right? Mm. Like, I just don't know where I would thrive. Like, maybe they're like, oh, I just don't want to be that person who pops out of the woodwork as giftless. Like, just because the only gifts you can actively see are like maybe small group leader or the things or worship, right? Or preaching, but yeah. Not all people are gifted in those. So we go back to that. No one has every gift. So there are ways that people can serve that aren't those more obvious leadership or upfront roles. There are so many more roles that are behind the scenes than upfront. And so maybe your gift slides in there. And so you might need to ask or get to know the church a little bit better and have kind of that 5 seconds of courage to click the box on the virtual communication card or walk up to somebody after the service.
Kaylin, why is it important to have a right understanding of spiritual gifts that we're kind of getting from this definition?
I think it's humbling to be reminded we all need each other and we can't operate in giftings without the working of the Spirit. I think like I want to be like, well, I might have all the gifts. And I'm like, what a prideful thought.
I am omnicompetent. Yeah. I do have them all.
I didn't need God or the Spirit or the church. I could
just do it.
Yeah. I took that spiritual gifts assessment. I got a 2 out of 35. Yeah.
And so just like it's humbling for me to be reminded that I need other people in the church. And then that even in my like lower moments where I'm not thinking highly of myself, like, oh, the church also does need the giftings God has equipped me with. And so I just love that we need the Spirit and one another to care for the body of Christ.
That's really good. Yeah, we both kind of hit on, but like, don't believe the lie that you don't have spiritual gifts and that God doesn't want to use them in his church. Mm-hmm. That's, right? Like,
Yeah, go back to that spiritual warfare episode. Yeah, Satan would like nothing better than for you to believe you're worthless.
To bench you.
Yeah, he wants to bench you. Wow, and so if you're sitting on a bench, think about it. Think about why you're there. I mean, some people need some time to rest. So
the other thing I would add, just to kind of the right understanding of spiritual gifts part, I kind of want to think personally a little bit, or what way I've been impacted, I think might be helpful for others, which is when you kind of brought up, like, we see the worship person, or we see the preacher, the communicator, we see the woman teaching the class in the church, whatever we might see, and we think, I'm not like that. And I could never do that. And maybe you could if you had the opportunity and the time and the reps and the training they had. But the other thing that, and I tend to do, is I say, I should be that way, and I'm not. Or I get into the comparison game. And I
gifts
think
gifts envy.
Gifts envy game, or the comparison game. And I think, oh, the real spiritual person is the preacher, and I don't have any role to play in the church. And that's just, so again, I think what we get out of this definition, and why it's important to have a right understanding of spiritual gifts, is we see that no. God has created you specifically, and the Spirit has sovereignly wired you in a way that the Spirit wants you to make an impact in the church. And it might not look like someone else. But then the beautiful thing, we actually think rightly about it, is, man, instead of gifts envy, I can look at Natty, I can look at Kayla and say, thank God he made them the way he made them. And I'm not them. And that's like, there's like a security to that, and then a joy in other people. And you start to see why the team is, or why God wired and created us this way. All right, let's jump into the growing together. Let's get practical in our discussion
here.
Let's
get practical.
So what are some practical ways that we can learn to, one, identify our spiritual gifts, and two, utilize them in the church and in ministry to others?
Yeah, I'm going to answer this kind of all in one, because that's what I do to your questions after you work so hard on them. Based on something we have in our, again, in our SHAPE manual, and this is all kind of, it's maybe paraphrasing or summarizing some of Wayne Grudem's thoughts. So these aren't my independent thoughts, but I just phrase them as kind of one word thing. So kind of in progression, you know, to ask, you know, ask, what does the church need? And what do others see in me? So you can ask people, like, what's going on around me? And then you can try some things out. So we've got ask, we've got try. You can try some things out and just see where it goes, right? And without fear, just getting in there. And I mean, you probably wouldn't make my first attempt at trying preaching a Sunday sermon or getting up on stage and singing. I don't know that necessarily my singing is going to bless the congregation, but yours very well might. But you might try in smaller ways that are less out there. And then watch to see where there's been a blessing, or where God's really moved, or where people are feeling blessed by what God is doing through you. And then finally to pray, ask God to reveal. I mean, pray maybe should have been first. Now that I think about it, maybe I should have put pray first, but it's fourth. But as we're trying to discern, or, you know, do some of these things, we might want the Spirit to gift us in a certain way. Prayer, you know, bring it before the Lord.
I liked this list. When I first became a believer, I felt like I did not know where to even start in serving the church or using giftings, because I didn't feel like I knew what they were. And so the ask and try just really stands out to me, of like, I felt like I tried in many different ministry areas until I was able to understand, like, oh, the Lord really has not gifted me in this way. And that is okay. Like Paul said, like, I can celebrate the way that he has gifted others. And
do you
so,
have like an example that you can like draw on? Like, oh, man, I wanted...
like tried to teach first grade Sunday school class. And I just was like, I mean, kids are great. And I
they're a blessing from the Lord.
We love them. We love them.
Yeah. And I'm not equipped, or does it give me a ton of joy to teach first grade Sunday school? I will, if that's like a need, but I find joy in doing other things in the church.
But then you watch our children's minister here at Hope do it, and you're like,
oh, and
oh
she
my
loves
goodness.
It. I'm like,
and
oh, praise just, God that God
she
has like
speaks
given
their language.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And so that would be like one example of like, I'll do it if it's called upon and like if they need help, but like it would not be, I tried it and just was like, this isn't a natural fit for me.
Good job trying it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I kind of answered this, you know, kind of practical on how to identify and use them in the church with my year one internship experience. And so a little shout out here for the internship.
Taking applications right now August internships.
One of the beautiful things about being an intern in a church is that's focused on leadership development is that you get reps and opportunities that you might not get in other settings. And so when I was a year one intern, I remember counseling, mentoring, teaching, planning events, doing a number of things that like I never would have gotten to do. I took on actually probably too much. And if you
spoiling chili,
if you get to the bottom of why I did it, part of it was that Natty mentioned earlier, like a belief in like omnicompetence, where I was trying to like see that I had every gift. Mm. And as I grew in ministry and maturity over time, started to identify like, oh no, there is actually some things that God's uniquely done. And there's some other things that like let someone else do. So actually Kaylin pointed out one for me that I didn't know until recently, which is that like content, like creating content for people to engage with and think through, comes pretty naturally. I didn't realize that, which may be kind of just to add one more thing to this, or it goes back to the watch, but ask. Is having people that you know see things in you and then tell you about it. But yeah, kind of a wild ride and on trying everything and just a promotion of the internship there of like, yeah, get in here and give it a shot. And you see then as you're doing more and more, and this kind of fits with everything we've talked about, but you're going to see what God really has got you for or kind of has wired you for.
Yeah, I see that. I see that similarly play out in some of the things that I've experienced as I've learned to grow on my gifts. Again, mentioned in the maybe the last podcast or the last episode or two ago that Hope's my like really like my first deep dive into church life. I mean, I had some experience with church in high school differently, but where I really felt invested. And just being here has been really cool because I saw, you know, I've always been one of those kind of ringleader kids. So I had some natural leadership abilities. But when I became a follower of Christ, then I got to watch. So if I go back to that watch one, where is there a blessing in the past? I get to also watch people who have been further down the road than me. So just being here and learning from people who have known Jesus longer and have really refined leadership skills, I got to watch and be a part of that and learn and grow from them. Like, what does Christ-based leadership look like? How do I grow in that? What are the values there? And so that's just a really cool aspect of, again, of being in a church, of trying to figure out our spiritual gifts, right? And then the church letting that some of those things be pointed out to you. Turns out I have a very good, as Strike would call it, spidey sense, right? That sense of discernment, like something's off here, or maybe I'm not getting the full story, where then I didn't realize until other people would come to me, like, what was your read on that? And I was like, why are you asking me? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, I think you have a good read on things. Oh, who knew? You know, like, so that was really a blessing.
Well, that wraps up our conversation for today. But we want to keep connecting with you. So thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, be sure to follow our show and leave a review. We love connecting with our listeners. So if you have questions, comments, or topic ideas, please email us ldi@hopecc.com. LDI is a ministry of Hope Community Church based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We seek to develop leaders in their biblical thinking, Christ-like character, and ministry skills for service both inside and outside the church. We do this through internships, classes, seminars, and retreats. If you're interested in learning more about our internships or other opportunities, visit ldi.hopecc.com or email ldi@hopecc.com. Have a great week.